Hi, you're listening to After Dinner Conversations, short stories for long discussions. What that means is we get short stories, we select those short stories, and then we discuss them specifically about the ethics and the morality of the choices, the characters, and the situations put us in. Why did you do this? What makes you do this? What makes us good people? What's the nature of truth, goodness, all of that sort of stuff? And hopefully we're all better, smarter people for it, and learn a little bit about why we think the way we think. So thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome back once again to After Dinner Conversation, short stories for long discussions. I am your co-host, Colby, here with Jeremy.
Hello.
And Sarah.
Hi there.
Hey, Sarah. How are you doing? All smiles again.
Indeed.
I know. I'm giving you grief because you were telling me earlier. Okay, so like and subscribe, you know, visit us on Patreon. We've got 4 anthology books you can get on Amazon now full of, between all of them, that'd be like 100 short stories between those 4 books in print and ebook. We've also got a magazine that comes out monthly. You can get a year subscription for just $4.95 if you use the discount code HAPPY, and you can get it on our website at afterdinnerconversation.com. I feel like that is a record for the fastest I've gotten all of that out. All right, and our story, The Freedom Machine. I know you guys usually have me do it, but I'm always happy to pass it off if you want.
No, go ahead.
All right. Freedom Machine it is. So The Freedom Machine, it's about a lady named Kiki, which is interesting because I've never met a Kiki before except for one, who wakes up in the morning and she finds that her device in her ear, actually it's like a little flashback thing. We're not going to worry about that. The device in her ear has stopped working. The device is called like the Infinity Systems, which is a really plausible-ish device, like a near future device. It's basically like a headset that goes in, like a little earpiece. It checks, it ties into your bio stuff. It ties into databases. It ties into your social media and even potentially other people's accounts that also have an account with them or other people's social media related to you. It synthesizes all of this, your emails, all of it. To try and help you make better decisions. So it tells you like, hey, if you're going to get to work on time, here's probably when you should get out of bed. And it wakes you up and tells you, right? Hey, if you don't want to have a caffeine crash midday, like, why don't you not have that coffee until 10 a.m.? If you, you know, want to have a good recital, you should probably, you know, play a little piano today. I've scheduled it for you. And of course, it all goes into your sort of cloud calendaring system. And you can always accept or decline. You don't ever have to do what it says. It's not forcing you to do anything. But, you know, it knows you pretty well. You've pretty much, if you've bought the software and bought the material, you've kind of bought into the system. And so, at the very least, it's sort of like a parent always nudging you to make better choices. The character, Kiki, the story starts off, hers has broken. And after several years of using it, she has become pretty accustomed to it, and she pretty much follows what it does all the time. So she takes it into the shop to get it fixed. It's 5 days. It's not going to be back till Saturday because it's broken. And so she's really at a loss because she hasn't made decisions on her own in a long time. One of her first bad decisions is she gets picked up on by the guy who works in the shop called a mastermind, which the way they describe it, it kind of sounds like an Apple store. He takes her out, gets her drunk, has sex with her, says, call me again sometime. She's not doing great at work. She's not getting to work on time, blah, blah, blah. She goes back into the shop because she really doesn't know what to do with herself after a couple days, and finds him using the same pickup lines with new women who have also had theirs break. So she is like, I don't want to come into the store to pick it up. Just mail it to me. And the story ends where it started, because it was a flashback in the beginning, where she's trying to decide if she's going to put this earpiece from the Infinity System back in, or if she's going to go cold turkey and start making more of her own decisions. Although technically she's always making her decisions. She's just getting good advice from this system about how to be a, you know, optimally performing person. All right, did I miss anything? I try and do these like quickly and succinctly, but
yeah, no, that sounds like you got everything.
Okay, good deal. Maybe I missed my calling as a summarizer. All right, so what do you think? I think this is a version of things we've definitely talked about before.
Yeah, it's really close to a bunch of other things. So it's lightly adjacent to trolley problems.
Sure.
Or from the perspective of like how do self-driving cars work from a decision-making standpoint? How can you trust the algorithms? How can you trust what is making these decisions for you?
Right.
Because there's two sides to that. Big data, who's massaging the big data to make your decisions, and who's making high level decisions for what the society should be doing, and all these people connected to it. So, it touches on all of these interesting questions.
So, it's interesting because we've been doing this for so long, and a lot of the stories, they're not the same, but they sometimes rhyme, right? Yeah. And this is definitely one that rhymes. And so I don't want to sort of skip steps in previous discussions we've had. So for people that are listening, like go back and listen to some of the other ones. I want to sort of show my work here. So one of the things you brought up, Jeremy, before, which I always thought was a really good point, is this idea of even if you're listening to an algorithm, somebody wrote that algorithm and somebody was making choices, and they're making choices about what is quote unquote optimal, right? And so even though you're not making those choices, you're offloading those choices, the choices are getting made. They're just no longer getting made by you. Is that a pretty good summary of what you've mentioned before?
Yeah, definitely.
And so that can have its own bias, whether it's the facial ID stuff that like incorrectly recognizes people based on race or makes assumptions based on race, whether that's all the things that algorithm can purposely or inadvertently do.
And not just the algorithm, but the data that the algorithm was based on. So,
oh, sure. That's a good point.
How was the data collected? How biased was the data when it went in? Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what's going on around, discussions of big data right now, an algorithm used by police departments.
Yeah.
For example, that was based on racist policing is now informing police to be more racist.
Because the data that they're using to fill their database are the police reports that were gathered from racist police officers 20, 30 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Directing them to police more in, areas of color and things like that.
Right, because they previously policed in areas of color and based on all the stop and frisks had found.
Exactly. Whatever. So, if nobody's cleaning the data so that it's a good data set going into the system, it's garbage in, garbage out.
Sure.
So it really doesn't call any of that out. We're just seeing it from this outside perspective.
Yeah.
And, because of our contact with other stories that have talked about this and what's going on, it just brings up these questions.
Yeah, it brings it up yet again.
Right. How do you know what's the data set that forms these decisions, and how do you know who's managing it and directing it from, if there's no transparency for what the company is doing.
So you think there's a way to do this either by not making it too intelligent, by making it making it simpler? Because I assume you don't have these big data questions with like Google calling and setting a restaurant reservation for me. Make an appointment and it's like, where would you like to go? And I'm like, Italian.
Right.
And then it just calls it calls the Italian restaurant and like figures it out for you.
Yeah, in that sense, and as a data assistant, somebody scheduling your time, it gets questionable when you talk about to be the most productive. Like, again, what are you defining that as?
Yeah.
But a digital assistant like this, absolutely. I think we've all talked about, I know you and I have both talked about, we want digital assistants that will do a lot of these, what we see as menial tasks.
Whether they're biological or physical, or we've had those discussions as well. Yeah. So, all right. So I kind of knew this is where you were going to go with this. When I read it, I was like, all right. Yeah. So I know Jeremy's interest is in the sort of misuse of big data. So I was trying to think of ways to throw you a curveball here.
Sure.
And so here's my curveball for not just Jeremy, but for you too, Sarah. We all as people that have sort of now evolved with internets, right, we all have gotten in the habit of cognitive offloading, right? We don't remember phone numbers anymore because they're in our phones. So we've sort of just like, we just don't need that anymore. So we spend our thought process doing better things. Don't necessarily think about, I don't know, all the different things you that just automatically get fed into your phone now or saved on your phone, or because, you know, we are at some level working as like basic level cyborgs, right? Our phones are our cyborg tools that tell us whether we should bring an umbrella, you know. So here's my question for you. I assume you're okay with this sort of cognitive offloading of like basic stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I mean, Sarah?
In that sense of...
Before I go to step two, you're also okay with this sort of cognitive offloading of phone numbers, recipes...
External memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn-by-turn directions to...
Turn-by-turn directions. You know, how many cups are in a, whatever, a pint?
Yeah, sure, I guess. For the sake of conversation.
Okay, for the sake of conversation. Yeah. So here's my second part of this. How is it okay to do this cognitive offloading when what she's arguably doing is the same thing at a higher scale that she can always override, that she can always choose not to, and that we're assuming that like it's not telling her she has to do it. It's just saying like, look, if you want to reach the goals you've told me you want to reach, mm-hmm. here's what you should do. You don't have to do it. But you told me earlier you didn't want to be a smoker. So here's what I'm here's. And so it's this sort of like Jiminy Cricket in your ear. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
No, I don't think anything's wrong with that at a personal level.
Okay.
You know, and they really, in the story, they don't get into how much it's customizable and, you know, how much feedback you're putting into it.
Yeah. All they say is like, it makes you the best version you can be, the most productive best version of yourself. Yeah.
And it does mention that she has the opportunity to rearrange her schedule, but she just always chooses to go with the suggested schedule.
Right.
You know, she's got a choose your own adventure kind of thing going on here. And it would be interesting if you declined a particular activity, would the Infinity System recalculate?
But like, you don't want to do that.
A new set of choices.
Right.
And so here's my question to you, Sarah. It's easy to be hard on the character in this story for sort of becoming a zombie, a living zombie, that she's given up her free will, so to speak.
And she seems very happy.
Exactly. But number one, she's happy. And number two, she's living the life she has told us she wants to live. And so it's easy to criticize her for being a freeloader on something for you know,
right,
but thought process, but she's getting the life she wants.
It's an interesting way to approach the definition of the word freedom.
Right.
Which they address from the very start of the story.
Yeah. And it also, because she talks about anxiety and, you know.
Right, that she struggled with anxiety. That's right.
And so is this the right solution for somebody who's anxious, or should they be getting mental health care to work with the anxiety instead of just solving
the problem? What's the goal of that mental health care, right?
And what?
Yeah. And what's the goal of that mental health care? Is it for you to not have anxiety, or is it for you to be better at managing the things that cause you anxiety?
Because I guess that kind of solves this too. She's managing the things that cause her anxiety through the use of this tool.
Yeah.
So, but is that really, you know, when it goes away, you know, that causes additional problems.
Do you see this as different than like any of the SSR drugs? Any of the Zoloft, you know, Vicodin? I don't know. I don't even know what the drugs are.
I don't think that's comparable.
Okay. So tell me why it's not. Like in both cases, you're using a engineered tool to allow you to not be stressed in situations that traditionally stress you.
So the medication doesn't make decisions, doesn't offer you choices, all it does is balances chemistry in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That, and it reduces your
anxiety,
your sensations of anxious sure. feelings or depressed feelings, sad feelings, stuff like that. The offloading decision-making like this is, I think it's completely different because the medicine doesn't function that way. Maybe I just don't understand what angle you're coming at that comparison from.
I guess the angle I'm coming at, and maybe it's an unfair angle, but the angle I'm coming at is technology creates tools to help you function in a way that doesn't cause anxiety, that makes you less likely to get anxiety. And is there a difference in which technology gets utilized to serve that purpose and how that technology interacts with you?
Good question.
Does it matter? I'll give you an example. Does it matter if I don't care that the building's on fire, or if that's the technology, or if the technology is, there's a sprinkler system and so the building never catches on fire? Does it matter? In both cases, I sleep well at night. Maybe a building on fire is not a great example because one example you burn up. But you understand, it's all just tools to make you function. And I'm trying, I struggled when I read it because I had, I think the same reaction I know you guys probably had, where I'm like, what a cop out. You've just quit living life. You voluntarily outsourced life to a machine that has maybe biases and things and making choices. What's the point of living if you're not living?
The relationship questions are the most interesting. How these machines work to
determine when a relationship is good for her and what
relationships are good for her. Now that, I think, was probably the extreme end of this and the decision making that it was doing for her.
That's right. It was telling her, it would set up dates for her and it would tell her how to answer someone if they asked her out.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Which she could ignore.
And then tell her after a while, this relationship's no longer good for you. You should go back to work.
Isn't that what friends and parents do?
Ooh.
I don't...
We don't listen to our friends and parents.
But you don't have to listen to this machine either. That's my point. And this is why,
is this more criticism of this character just wholeheartedly releasing her... decision making.
So this is the frustration I had, because the things that we talked about, that the lead in parts, were all stuff that I'd already worked out in my head that we were going to talk about. The part that I couldn't work out is, why do I hate this lady so much when I can think of all of the ways that similar things are being done anyway, whether it's drugs, whether it's a parent, whether it's a friend, whether it's taking someone you're dating to go meet your friend so they can tell you hey, you're not seeing this person correctly. They're all situations where you're seeking some third source, whether it's a person or a chemical, to help you make better decisions that you could or could not listen to. I don't know why those are okay with me, but what she's doing gives me this instinctual vomit in my mouth, and I couldn't wrap my head around why one was different than the other.
And I think it's because you don't know the goals of whoever's running the software, and how they intend to manage your life,
and that you do have a better sense of it with your friends and family.
Yes,
because you assume they're working in your best interest,
right? And you don't know that. You don't actually know that. I think that's a subtext here, is we don't actually know that the software is working in your best interest. It may appear that way. Going to a manager for advice, work advice, as opposed to going to a friend for work advice.
Like asking your manager if you should ask for a raise, sort of thing.
Right.
It's a question of it's a source of dubious ethics or dubious... Motivations.
Right. You don't know what the motivations are behind the people running the software.
Mm-hmm. So there's a play that this immediately reminded me of called The Compass. And I saw it, I want to say 2018, with my students. ASU,
oh, cool.
Arizona State University put it on. And so they did special performances for young people. And the premise of this play is there's an app on your phone that makes decisions for you. You can choose not to take its advice, but this main character generally does take the advice of this app called The Compass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same kind of idea. It has, you know, access to all this data, social media, not on, like, basically her life.
Yeah.
And it encourages her to make a decision that turns out to be harmful.
Mm.
And so now she has been arrested. She's on trial. And her defense is wanting to blame the company that made the app, because the app told her to make this decision.
Mm.
And so the really cool thing about this play and the way that it's written, hold on, is it throws the ending out to the audience.
As the jury.
As the jury.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
The compass. It looks like Steppenwolf was the first group to do it. Steppenwolf Theater Company in Chicago.
Okay. That's cool.
And, yeah. So...
A little closer to the microphones here.
I'm sorry. So, the audience has to be the jury, and there's different endings. And
are they allowed to ask questions?
Yes, you're allowed to ask questions. And so what they did was they put our audience into little groups, and a cast member would be planted there and would act as kind of the jury foreman and kind of direct the discussion and answer questions and ask questions.
So the students could ask questions.
Yeah. Kind of had to improvise conversations. Like,
oh, that's super clever.
And so they showed the vote, and I can't remember if we were guilty or not guilty. I can't remember how it turned out, but it was very, very interesting to consider, because it made the students consider who is responsible for the actions of this young person. And of course, their immediate response, because they're identifying with the young person who's on trial, is to say, well, she's not responsible because the app told her to do it.
Sure.
And then, you know, they ask more questions, they get deeper into, like, this idea of who is really behind this and all of that. And they're like, well, no, she made the choice to follow the apps, you know, so they, you kind of get to watch them go back and forth.
Right.
It's very similar to the story. It immediately reminded me of that.
And I don't think that's going to be I can tell you, I was in a, like those driver's ed classes for when you're speeding and you get points off your ticket. I think I've only ever gotten one or two tickets in my life, but the one I was in, there was somebody who was in the thing, because she took the exit that Google Maps told her to take, but it was on the 10 or whatever in Phoenix, and the immediate best left off the freeway is the HOV lane. Hi, this is Colby, and you are listening to After Dinner Conversation, short stories for long discussions, but you already knew that, didn't you? If you'd like to support what we do at After Dinner Conversation, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/afterdinnerconversation. That's right, for as little as $5 a month, you can support thoughtful conversations like the one you're listening to. And as an ad incentive for being a Patreon supporter, you'll get early access to new short stories and ad-free podcasts, meaning you'll never have to listen to this blurb again. At higher levels of support, you'll be able to vote on which short stories become podcast discussions. And you'll even be able to submit questions for us to discuss during these podcasts. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being the kind of person that supports thoughtful discussion. And the immediate best left off the freeway is the HOV lane, as opposed to if you aren't in the HOV lane, you have to take the right off the freeway and then go up and do a U-turn and double back over the freeway. And so she got a ticket for being in the HOV lane on the exit. And the police officer's like, look, I don't care what Google Maps tells you. You're person in a car. Right. Yeah. And she's like, right. Well, but I don't know what to do because it told me that was the exit I had to take. What am I supposed to do? Not take the exit? I don't know where I'm going. I'm like, not. Anyway, so that was her excuse. It didn't get her off, by the way. So apparently that's not a good reason to.
Well, yeah. And I mean, so similar to like if Kiki had tested her Infinity system by not doing some of the things, Google Maps will recalculate your route.
Yeah, and maybe that's the way it would work with this, right? Like if you...
Like I make that decision all the time. I don't want to take, you know, I try to avoid the 60 as often as possible. So if it's trying to take me to the 60, I go a different route and it recalculates to avoid that, you know?
I'm curious, do you agree with Jeremy's assessment that the... First off, did you have the same sort of yuck feeling when you saw the way she was relying upon this? That I did.
Yeah, I did. But I was also a little jealous. Like, how nice not to have to decide what time to drink coffee.
No, I, you know,
That's exactly. A good point.
And like to have all of this data, you know, telling her what she should be eating and, you know, what, you know, you should practice your piano. Like, that's a great idea. You have time to do that right now. Here's options to do this healthy activity as opposed to this unhealthy one.
Right. Put down the Instagram cat scrolling and go practice the piano.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I, you know, there's a little bit of jealousy there. I probably would not follow my Infinity Systems advice just as
for
well
lots
as
of
Kiki
things.
Does.
Well, but, okay, so you bring up an interesting point, though. This is one of my jealous things about when people get all excited about Chris Hemsworth or any of the guys that get ripped for movies, is I'm like, yeah, if somebody followed me around all day and said, only eat what I hand you.
Right.
And they made every meal for me every day. Yeah, I could have any body I could see in a magazine.
And right? Scheduled your exercise time. And
right.
Well, it's part because of their job to look like that.
It's part of their job, and I agree, but it's also they no longer are the decision makers. I mean, once they have essentially given up the ability to make bad decisions related to food or exercise.
Yeah.
Because they've got somebody who's like being like, hey, it's 1 o'clock. Here's your tray of, you know, boneless, skinless chicken breast and broccoli.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I don't get the same gut feeling about that, right? That makes perfect sense to me. Like, yeah, you're trying to achieve a goal. Like, you hired someone to help you with that goal. I don't know what the problem is.
And also in that scenario, you don't really question their motivations outside of what you've hired them to do.
Right. But I'm sure that they want to keep making a living, right? Like, so I'm sure they have motivations that aren't necessarily aligned with mine because they want to... Like,
but you don't question their motivations that they're stealing your data or and reselling it.
That's
or
true.
That their motivations are, in a societal sense, counter to freedom or, you know, to whatever you're worrying about.
Sure.
You know, in a society sense, that they're trying to harm society in some way that's beneficial to them.
Yeah. That's true.
And then you can also take this technology and monetize people's decisions.
Absolutely.
You know what would make you really happy today?
A Starbucks. You should go by Starbucks and get a big Frappuccino.
You know, I think that's it. Now that you mention it.
This store is having a sale today. You should stop in and, you know,
I think
buy a new dress.
I think that's the part of it that, part of it, not all of it, part of what makes me sort of throw up in my mouth with this is the idea of I could see like a company being like, hey, if you'll insert this instruction, like, look, you know, Chipotle and a Burrito Factory are nearly identical. If you know that your person likes Chipotle and you know, they get to eat it 3 times a week, why don't you suggest Burrito Factory 1 out of 3 of those times? And we'll pay you, you know, who knows how much money to make roughly comparable, but pro business suggestions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't think, I don't know.
We have a situation going on in our schools here in Arizona with a TikTok trend where students are destroying school property and sharing this on TikTok, and it's causing this to be a real problem.
Doesn't that make
in
it
our
really
schools.
Easy to catch them?
They don't.
Okay,
you would think that.
You would think that, but they're, you know, these guys, they have it kind of down, you know.
Okay.
So it's just videos of them stealing soap dispensers.
Hand dryers.
At our school, 35 soap dispensers were stolen this week. This week.
Okay.
35. And the handles off of the sinks.
The puns, by the way, are just boiling all over me, and I'm just really resisting.
The restroom is the easiest place because there's no staff and they're monitoring restrooms. There's no cameras in there, so of course they're going into the restroom and they're vandalizing the schools.
Yeah,
we have to lock the bathrooms now.
Yeah,
and it's because of this TikTok trend.
Because of potentially just 1 or 2 students,
right? And so I saw somebody on Facebook this week, we were discussing this as parents and teachers, and somebody said TikTok should be liable for this. They should have to pay restitution to the schools that are having to pay for all of this, you know, vandalized property and all these repairs. And so I was like,
it's an interesting point of view, but it's not TikTok telling students to do this. it's right. other students, you know, which
using their platform.
Right.
Yeah. But here's the thing though, right? TikTok has the ability to filter what people see. Like,
right.
And they yeah. should be removing so content like this.
This Infinity I don't know, man.
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's responsible for the decisions that people make, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, this made me think of that, too. I was like, oh, right. wow. You know, kids.
So could the Infinity Systems be responsible for her if she did something that she shouldn't have done or wouldn't otherwise do, but it informed her was the most optimal decision?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know why. I just really hated this lady. Like, I hated her weakness, I think is what it was. Because, like, a person who I think is a well-balanced, well-adjusted individual who's maybe not susceptible, this might be a useful resource. Right. But for somebody who struggles with anxiety, it becomes a crutch that becomes an increasingly more... a source of increasingly greater dependency,
right? right?
And so the very person you shouldn't give it to, in my mind, is the person who's most likely going to want to use it, right? Who's like, decisions are complicated. I just can't. It's like, well, okay, then you automatically can't get it because you're just going to use it all the time and you're going to use it irresponsibly and you're going to quit functioning as a human being. It's no longer
functioning. But she functioned as a human being because of it, where the anxiety yeah. keeps her from functioning as a human being.
So there's a line in the story that I was like, ooh, I like this line.
Okay.
It says, the only decision she could make after that was a conscious decision for unconsciousness. She went to sleep.
Right.
And I was like, and I feel like she has consciously chosen to go unconscious, that the whole Infinity System for her was going to sleep. Like to everyone else, she's like, she's doing great at her job. She's doing piano recitals. She's whatever. And it's like, yeah, just because you're the best cow doesn't mean you're not a cow. Like you're not a human being anymore.
You don't think she was enjoying her life though?
Cows enjoy their lives. It doesn't make them people. I mean, assuming they don't get slaughtered.
She was suffering quite a bit without the Infinity System.
I agree. Right.
So this
is struggling and suffering quite a bit. So you're saying that she deserves to suffer and deserves to struggle because she's incapable of making decisions?
Absolutely not. But that's a great question.
that's what we're here for.
yeah, no, it's an outstanding question. No, I think it's one of those things. I think it's a little bit like drinking or other addictions or other crutches where it's like, do you feel like you really need this drink? Then you can't have it, right? The only time you can have a drink is when you're like, I could take it or leave it, right? Do you think you really need someone to help you do all of your decision making? You're like, I really need it. And you're like, no, then you can't have it because you're not gonna be able to use it in the way it was intended, right? As a tool as opposed to a crutch.
Okay.
So I see what you're saying about the parallel between this and medications.
In that sense.
Yeah.
Because I really need my antidepressants.
Sure. And I think a lot of people do. And I think I probably do and I should be taking them and I'm not. But yeah. But I just... It's the difference between Google scheduling your haircut appointment and... somehow you letting Google know, schedule haircut appointments whenever I need them. Like every, you know, like I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I'm not being really articulate because it's like a very fluid idea in my head because it's so close. But I feel like the thing that she needs is to help to be better at dealing with this, the anxiety of decision making.
So would an app... the same app that works towards that goal, but still you don't know everything else about it, be okay in that situation?
How would that look, though? That's the part I'm struggling
with. Yeah, I know. You'd have to figure out how would this app help you with decision-making instead of make decisions for you.
Like, I feel like it would be a meditation app, not a decision-making app.
Is one of the lessons of this is that left to our own devices, people will always mess up their own lives.
Could be.
I mean, I got that from this too. Like,
yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah, this Infinity System sure helps her make good decisions and keeps her from making poor ones. And left to her own devices, she immediately started making poor decisions.
But I think she was making poor decisions than she was making years earlier because she was out of practice. I think that's part of the thing, right? I mean, in my mind, I have no evidence for that in the writing. You're absolutely right. But in my mind, like, the more you depend on it, the more you get out of practice.
Right. So a better app would be working with her to that so that she makes the decisions.
Yeah. It gave her like a pro-con list maybe and was like, which would you prefer? Or something. Because I feel like a good parent doesn't tell you what to do. They help
you in the direction of making
decisions. You're right. They help you make decisions, understanding that even after they've guided you, you might be like, I'm getting a tattoo. And you're like, I support that decision. We've talked about it for an hour. Like, we've talked about the pros and cons. You've told me why you thought it was a good idea. All right, let's go. We're doing it.
I've told you why it shouldn't be on your face.
Right. Right. Mike Tyson's the only one who can pull that off.
Yikes.
And I think that's, and I couldn't articulate that when we started our discussion, but I think that's my problem with it, is it's not helping her make better decisions. It's making better decisions.
And I think that's very valid, a very valid distinction.
I don't know. It just really made me want to throw up in my mouth. I really wanted to punch her in the face. And I want to quirk on her.
Yeah. Because I feel like I would use an app like this.
How would you use it? Like, I'm curious. What would be your...
The
meal for what planning. Instances?
Right. Meal planning and day planning.
Okay.
And I would like to study Italian, but I'm real shit at looking at Duolingo. You know,
even with a little pop-up that comes up that's like, hey, you've done Duolingo in 3 days.
Isn't that the one that
it stops giving you the pop-up after long enough?
Does it?
It comes to your door and threatens to murder you or your family.
Duolingo?
Duolingo? Man,
you have a different app than I do.
You probably have the...
We're hearing a lot of jokes about
you probably have the... Like, you probably have the... I think you have the paid version. Owl? Yeah.
Yeah, it's the little owl that threatens your friends and family if you don't...
I think, that, study. I think
that's a different way to make decisions for people.
I think that's if you have the paid version. They up their level of...
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a really good Saturday Night Live sketch where Duolingo is like...
I think it's been done.
I'm going to punch this dog if you don't do 20 minutes of Spanish today.
I think I've seen this though. Like,
that would be really good.
Showing up in people's kitchens and they're like...
But you bring up a great point. Like, a lot of apps give you like these friendly reminders that pop up in your app. Like, hey, get up and move around a little bit, you know, Garmin or whatever. Like, hey, you haven't done Duolingo in 2 days. We miss you. Like,
my watch reminds me to breathe.
Well, you better hope you never let your battery run down.
Like, every once in a while, it's like, take some time to breathe. And I'm like, that is a great idea, watch.
I can literally do that without thinking.
Right. See, as opposed to my watch would be like, hey, let's try not murdering that person in front of you in line today. That would be awesome. I'm not telling you to make that decision. I'm just giving you the pros and the cons so you can come to the conclusion on your own of what you think would be best.
Murder is not good.
So for you, Colby, I think the app should tell you which line to get in.
Dude, we just had
I have the same problem.
You aren't in the longest line or the slowest line.
It's my
kryptonite.
I've used the same special gift.
I've used all sorts of strategies. This is totally off topic, but I've used all sorts of strategies over the years. Like, I've done the thing where I'm like, okay, that lady at the front working, she looks super competent. Like, she's like really good at her job. Like, this line, but it didn't work. And I've got another one. Like,
somebody gets in and they have like 500 expired coupons.
Yes, exactly right. And then I've also done the thing where I'm like, okay, I'm going to get in the longer line or the equally long line with like five sets of single men. And like one of them will just decide they're going to chat up the lady at the counter. And I'm like, mother, seriously, dude? Like, I've given up. My only answer now is I'm going to bring like a 20-sided die and just be like, what line am I going in? Doesn't work. I hate it. Yeah.
Yep. We all have decisions we're sick of making.
It's the strongest indicator I have that there is a heaven and hell is that I can't pick the right lines because there's no way it could happen by random chances. Like, it would be like taking a multiple choice exam with only four questions on each question and getting like a 3%. Like, it just, it can't happen as much as it does. All right, I need to shut up about this. It just really bugs me. one other question. So if you had the chance to use the Infinity System, like as it is in the story, would you do it?
Yes.
Really? Why is that?
It seems really interesting to me.
Okay.
Like, when I think about the little things that I really don't like doing, like picking my clothes and deciding what to eat, and I really don't like making those kinds of decisions.
So would you be
able to... That was like, you know what would be the best thing for you to eat today based on this, that, or the other? Peanut butter toast with a banana, you know? Yeah. Like, and then I would just be like, that sounds great.
Right, and I've already ordered some. It's in the fridge.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Like, would you be okay if it, like, scheduled, like, today, you know, tonight we're doing laundry. Like, and it just showed up in your calendar that, like, you know, you knew you were going to be home and Tuesday at 8 p.m. was laundry night.
You know, and I spend a lot of time calendaring and planning because I really do have a very busy schedule. It's like we went back to school and all of a sudden, you know, I'm working 12, 14-hour days.
Sure. Right? Life of a teacher.
I mean, that's probably a little bit of an exaggeration, but... and everything has to be very carefully scheduled. So I actually spend a lot of time doing what this machine does for her. Like,
Okay. Jeremy, you're a yes too?
Yeah, generally. I mean, I still question, you know, how much are they selling me? You know, what, again, the suggestions, we're booking you, you should go here.
Right. Oh, you wanted to get a hotel in Las Vegas. The Hilton's having a discount. It's 20% off.
I keep forgetting things that, like, I was here, I was like, I just said we needed to buy something. Like, we needed to replenish something in the house.
And then totally
it's gone.
That's why, I do that. That's actually, I use the Alexa for that. I'll just say, like, the personal Alexa, remind me to buy blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the personal assistant sense, this whole machine sounds really cool.
Sounds really good. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know. I mean...
But I would have questions about personal data and...
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I mean, if there's anything Facebook has taught us is that, like whatever you think they're doing, and in five more years, they're going to come clean on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if they have to.
Right, if they absolutely have to, because the government can't get in on it or something. One other question, and this is the last one we'll end on. One of the things I thought about with this is making the right decisions more important than the process and the experience of making decisions?
Oh, in that sense, right. If you're not making decisions, like if you're not failing at things, and I think
even if you are failing sometimes, right? Like, I the fact that I didn't buy the best car for what I need and what I can afford, is there something when you weigh out that decision-making process, can you add a little bit to the side of the scale that says, but I got practice buying stuff and making decisions?
Absolutely. I think there's definite value in those processes too.
Hmm.
And so you'd probably have to balance this, but if you're not having to make those decisions, are you then getting, you know, next level experience above that?
Because I wondered that too. Are you making better decisions?
Right.
Yeah. Are you spending more of your time making better decisions for the ones that really matter? Yeah. As opposed to getting bogged down in a bunch of little decisions that don't matter much.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, an outstanding story by, and I forgot to mention this at the beginning of it, by, I got to scroll Remy back Martin. Up. Yeah. Remy Martin. Martin. Thank you. Thank you, Remy. That was an awesome story. Like and subscribe. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We got all the stuff. We're not collecting your data. Magazine, $4.95 a month. Use the discount code HAPPY at afterdinnerconversation.com. Thank you very much, and thank you guys for joining me.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed listening to this, please like and subscribe. It helps us out a ton. You know, the vast majority of people listen haven't liked and subscribed, which means maybe it shows up in your algorithm, maybe it doesn't. So don't leave that to chance. Just go ahead and hit that button, and we'd sure appreciate that. And that way we can keep doing what we're doing, and you're not left to the whims of some algorithm. Thanks.